Now, friends, we come to the 12th chapter of Daniel, and this is the conclusion of the vision that began back in chapter 10. And we need to keep before us what this vision is all about. The problem is that today a great many just dip in here any place and try to make application in just any way they see fit. But beginning with chapter 10 and through 12, it's one vision, and everything has to fall into place, or you certainly don't fill out the jigsaw puzzle here at all. Now, he said back in chapter 10, verse 14, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." Now, there are three things there that are important. Thy people concerns the nation Israel. That's after the church is removed from the earth. It's in the latter days. And the latter days in the Old Testament is identified in the last days in the New Testament that has to do, as the Lord Jesus identified it, as the Great Tribulation period, or the 70th week of Daniel, as we've seen in this book. Those are the latter days. And Daniel was told, yet the vision is for many days. That is, it's going to take a long time for all of this to be worked out before you get to the latter days. Well, now, that's been a pretty good time since Daniel, by the way. Several years have gone by. Now, the fact of the matter is, at least 2,500 years have gone by. It's for many days. And whether we're moving into the orbit of these days, I do not know. The church will have to be removed first. That's the next happening in the program of God. And we have no date for that. We have no sign for it. And anyone today that's going to try to set up a date, they are dealing with something that the Word of God doesn't permit us to deal with at all. Now, in verse 1 here, we have the Great Tribulation mentioned. Now, will you listen to this? Daniel makes it clear now what he's talking about. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Now, somebody says, by what authority do you call this period the Great Tribulation period? Well, by the authority of the Lord Jesus. He used this language that Daniel uses here. He says that this would be a period, a brief period, a time of trouble. There'd be nothing like it before and nothing afterward. And the Lord Jesus called it the Great Tribulation period. So I take it that he knew what he was talking about, and that if we consider him reliable, well, that's what we will accept. Now, at that time, you see, it identifies the time that we're talking about, and it is the time of the end. Not only did we see it back in chapter 10, but we saw that it was mentioned to us over here in verse 40. "And at the time of the end," and then we are given that in verse 35 of chapter 11, "to the time of the end." Not the end of time, but the time of the end. This is the end of this particular vision that's been given to Daniel. And it ends now with the Great Tribulation period. And this ought to be clear, I think, even to a theologian, by the way. I think that it might be well for me to quote someone else at this point. I'd like to quote Dr. Culver. I've referred to his book several times, a very excellent book, and I'm quoting now from him. "Another expression, at the time of the end, 1140, seems to indicate eschatological times. I do not feel that this evidence, taken by itself, can be pressed too far, for obviously the end of whatever series of events is in the mind of the author is designated by the expression time of the end. This is not necessarily a series reaching on to the consummation of the ages. However, it is quite clear from chapter 10, verse 14, which fixes the scope of the prophecy to include the latter days, that the time of the end in this prophecy is with reference to the period consummated by the establishment of the Messianic kingdom. And I think that's a profound statement. Now, Michael is identified for us here. He is the archangel, and his name means who is like unto God. He is the one, you'll recall, that is going to cast Satan out of heaven. That's in Revelation 12, 7 and 8. And he is the one that protects the nation Israel. And he stands in behalf of Israel, as Daniel makes it very clear. And John, over in Revelation, outlines his strategy, and that's in the 12th chapter, and we'll not go into that at this time. Thy people, now again, let me emphasize, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Now, that's positively the nation Israel. Otherwise, language has no meaning whatsoever. And the time of trouble is the great tribulation, as our Lord so labeled it in Matthew 24:21. Now, the remnant of Israel is preserved. We find that given to us in Matthew 24:22, Romans 11:26, and Revelation 7:4. We are told that a certain number was sealed in Revelation 7:4, for instance. And I heard a number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And children of Israel, of course, means children of Israel. Doesn't mean someone else. Now, will you notice in verses 2 and 3 here, first verse 2, we have the resurrection now of the Old Testament saints and of sinners. I'm reading verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, the remnant living in the great tribulation will be preserved. And that great company of Gentiles that are to be saved in that period, they are preserved. And those of the Old Testament who died that belonged to that remnant, and the Gentiles that were saved back in the Old Testament, they'll be raised at the end of the great tribulation. Some, that is, these, to everlasting life. The Old Testament saints are not raised at the rapture of the church. At the rapture, it clearly states, only those which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Only the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we get in Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, began on the day of Pentecost. It will end at the rapture. And that is a particular body called the church. And we're told very definitely in 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, Christ told his disciples, who were members of the nation Israel, that they would be baptized by the Holy Spirit and put in the body of believers. John truly baptized with water, the Lord Jesus said, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Now, the church is raptured out of the world, and the Old Testament saints are not raised. Why? Well, because the time to enter the kingdom is at the end of the great tribulation period. When Christ comes, then the kingdom is established. Then they are raised, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're all going to be raised for the kingdom. They're going to enter into the kingdom upon this earth at that time. Now, if they were raised at the time of the rapture, they'd have to stand around with their harps. They could maybe have orchestra practice, I don't know, but they'd just have to be standing around with their harps for 7 years, and I think that would get a little, you know, monotonous. But they're going to be raised at the end, which I think this passage makes very, very clear. Well, now let me move along here. Verse 3, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever." Now, God's servants in the dark days of the great tribulation, they'll shine as lights in the world. And believers today are to do the same thing, by the way. And the remnant in that day will be God's witness in the world. And they're going to turn many to righteousness. And the righteousness is Christ. Because that's the only righteousness that God is acceptable. Our righteousness is filthy rags in His sight. Not in our sight. We think we're pretty good. We look at each other, pat each other on the back, and tell each other how wonderful we are. And, well, we are just a bunch of dirty laundry, friends. And God's not accepting our works. He's accepting the righteousness of Christ. And that's only provided by faith. Now, will you notice verse 4, because we have here the sealing of prophecy. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Now, these prophecies were to be sealed unto the time of the end. Now, this does not mean the end of time, but it refers to that definite period of time, which in Daniel is the 70th week. And in view of the fact that we are in that interval immediately preceding this period, it's difficult to know just how much we really understand today, to tell the truth. We find a great many men disagree today on these matters, and all of us are very dogmatic, but I'm of the opinion that none of us have all the information. That will be opened up when it reaches this particular period. And that's the reason I think we need to keep our eyes upon one thing, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus. Keep our eyes fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we are told that many shall run to and fro. And I personally believe that this means running up and down the Bible in the study of prophecy. Many shall search it through and through. And there is a study of prophecy being made today that we haven't had in the past. I think certain great doctrines are developed particular periods in the history of the world. At the very beginning of the church, the doctrine of the inspiration of the Scriptures was pretty well established. The deity of Christ, redemption. Then as you move along in the history of the church, I think now we've moved into an orbit where there's more study of prophecy. And it says knowledge shall be increased. And I think it means knowledge of prophecy. It's true that knowledge has increased in every field today, but I'm trying to confine this to what I think primarily it refers to. And, of course, men have sure been running to and fro, but I think it refers to the study of prophecy. Now we have in verse 5 here, let me begin reading that. "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, the other on the other side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." Now, these verses return us to the vision of Daniel that he had seen at the beginning of chapter 10, the man clothed in linen. He was identified as the post-incarnate Christ. And two others join him here. One stands on one bank of the Tigris River and the other on the other. "And to scatter the power of the holy people." That's a strange phrase. It may mean that the rebellion of Israel will have been finally broken by the end of the great tribulation period, and that there will be a great turning to God at that time, which, by the way, we do not even see at this particular time. Now, verse 8, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" Now, Daniel was a witness to this scene, and he says he did not understand what he heard. Now, Daniel was puzzled, and he wanted to know how all these things he had just witnessed would work out. Verse 9, "And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end." Now, Daniel is reminded again that these things would take place in the time of the end and are temporarily sealed. Now, will you notice, we have the abomination of desolation before us now. Verse 10, "Many shall be purified, made white, and tried, but the wicked shall do wicked, and none of the wicked shall understand, the wise shall understand." Now, these great principles of God prevail from Daniel's day to the time of the end, irrespective of dispensations. Many shall be purified, those who've come to Christ, not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy. And the wise shall understand, because Paul said, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him." Now, verse 11, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days." Now, the importance of this verse, I don't think I could overemphasize it, as the Lord Jesus referred to it. He says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in a holy place, he that readeth, let him understand." Now, that'll be the beginning of the great tribulation period. Now, for 1,290 days, the idol of the beast remains in the temple. This is 30 days, actually, beyond the 3.5 years. In other words, the last half of the Great Tribulation, which is 1,260 days, and for some unexplained reason, the image will be there 30 more days, which would seem to me to indicate there'll be an interval there before the setting up of the kingdom here upon this earth. Then verse 12, "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days." Now, another series of days is given to us here, with no other explanation than, "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh." Well, apparently we haven't come there. And again, these are days that I'm of the opinion, and far as I'm concerned, no one has the interpretation of these. Why? It's sealed till the time of the end. And I think sometimes we try to know more than is actually given to us to know. Verse 13, "But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot in the end of the days." Now, Daniel is told, just as the Lord Jesus told Simon Peter, that he's to die. He'd not live to see the return of Christ, but he would be raised from the dead to enter the millennium. And he says, "in thy lot," means that Daniel will be raised with the Old Testament saints at the beginning of the millennium. At the end of days, that brings us to the abundant entrance into the kingdom. And friends, may I say to you that that is the future that is before us right now, a future that says Jesus was coming. And the book of Daniel says he's going to come to this earth and establish his kingdom. Paul tells us, and the Lord Jesus himself said, "I'm going to come and receive you. And where I am, you're going to be with me. I'm going to prepare a place for you." These are the things we should keep before us in these days. May the Lord richly bless you, my beloved.